After these things, Paul departed from Athens and went to Corinth. And he found a certain Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus, who had recently come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because Claudius had commanded all the Jews to depart from Rome, and he came to them. So, because he was of the same trade, he stayed with them and worked, for by occupation they were tent makers. And he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath and persuaded both Jews and Greeks. When Silas and Timothy had come from Macedonia, Paul was constrained by the Spirit and testified to the Jews that Jesus is the Christ. But when they opposed him and blasphemed, he shook his garments and said to them, "Your blood be upon your own heads. I am clean. From now on I will go to the Gentiles." And he departed from there and entered the house of a certain man named Justus, one who worshipped God, whose house was next door to the synagogue. Then Crispus, the ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord with all his household, and many of the Corinthians, hearing, believed and were baptized. Now the Lord spoke to Paul in the night by a vision, "Do not be afraid, but speak, and do not keep silent, for I am with you, and no one will attack you to hurt you, for I have many people in this city." And he continued there a year and 6 months, teaching the word of God among them. Now when Gallio was proconsul of Achaia, the Jews with one accord rose up against Paul and brought him to the judgment seat, saying, "This fellow persuades men to worship God contrary to the law." And when Paul was about to open his mouth, Gallio said to the Jews, "If it were a matter of wrongdoing or wicked crimes, O Jews, there would be reason why I should bear with you. But if it is a question of words and names and your own law, look to it yourselves, for I do not want to be a judge of such matters." And he drove them from the judgment seat. Then all the Greeks took Sosthenes, the ruler of the synagogue, and beat him before the judgment seat. But Gallio took no notice of these things. So Paul still remained a good while. Then he took leave of the brethren and sailed for Syria, and Priscilla and Aquila were with him. He had his hair cut off at Cenchrea, for he had taken a vow. And he came to Ephesus and left them there, but he himself entered the synagogue and reasoned with the Jews. When they asked him to stay a longer time with them, he did not consent, but took leave of them, saying, "I must by all means keep this coming feast in Jerusalem, but I will return again to you, God willing." And he sailed from Ephesus. And when he had landed at Caesarea and gone up and greeted the church, he went down to Antioch. After he had spent some time there, he departed and went over all the region of Galatia and Phrygia in order, strengthening all the disciples. Now a certain Jew named Apollos, born in Alexandria, an eloquent man and mighty in the scriptures, came to Ephesus. This man had been instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in spirit, he spoke and taught accurately the things of the Lord, though he knew only the baptism of John. So he began to speak boldly in the synagogue. When Aquila and Priscilla heard him, they took him aside and explained to him the way of God more accurately. And when he desired to cross to Achaia, the brethren wrote, exhorting the disciples to receive him. And when he arrived, he greatly helped those who had believed through grace. For he vigorously refuted the Jews publicly, showing from the scriptures that Jesus is the Christ. Amen. We continue today our sermon mini-series on key women of the Bible. And we almost draw to a close that sermon mini-series. Next week, I will do a Christmas sermon that will also be our final sermon in this mini-series of the key women of the Bible. It'll be a sermon that will serve both purposes, in other words. Well, the last few weeks in this series, we've been looking, for the most part, at women who have been interacting during the time of Jesus' ministry, interacting largely with Jesus during his earthly ministry as he taught and went to the cross ultimately. Well, now we enter into a final era in biblical history. We now are in the time after the death, resurrection, and ascension of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's been a wonderful opportunity as we've gone through this sermon miniseries. We've essentially marched through the entire Bible. And now we're in this final era in biblical history. We're in this time between the first and second comings of Jesus Christ. What's unique about this time, and particularly as we see it here in today's passage, is this is the time when the New Covenant Church has formed and is beginning to expand throughout the world. The church is shown as beginning the Great Commission. They began first that witness in Jerusalem, and then to Judea and Samaria, and on to the ends of the earth. And look, they've made it all the way out here to Nevada. The Lord has been at work. And in this section of the biblical history, we're seeing the beginnings of that Great Commission, starting with Pentecost and moving out from there. Now, in terms of where we sit then, as a church here in 2013, we share much in common with this time frame in the Bible. Arguably, it's a time frame in the Bible that we share the most in common with. Yet there are some minor differences. One main difference is that they benefited from the foundational ministry of the 12 apostles. And of course, as well with the Apostle Paul, we see here as well, Apostle Paul says he's one untimely born. And what was associated with those apostles were all those amazing, miraculous works of the Holy Spirit that were part of that foundational witness of these apostles. Yes, we don't live in the time of the apostles, but we do build on that foundation. The scriptures tell us that the foundation has been laid, the foundation of the apostles and prophets with Christ Jesus as the cornerstone. And so we're continuing to build that on that foundation as we continue to live out the Great Commission. Well, then as we come to that part of the Bible and see our connection with it, we realize here even today that the church's witness for Christ is not something just for a few in the church. It's not something just for the apostles or the pastors or the elders of the church to be doing. That everyone in the church has a work to join together in serving out and living out the Great Commission in varying ways with the varying gifts God has given us. This is true today. And it was even true back then during this time of the apostolic witness. You know, we often hear from feminists that they're upset because the Bible restricts the ordained office of pastor and elder to qualified men within the church. And we often hear that that's so backward of us. But that misses a broader point in the scriptures. That you don't need to be an ordained officer in the church to play an important role in the church's work and in the church's mission. The reality is, I'm sure if we surveyed most people don't even want to be in that particular capacity as an ordained officer in the church, male or not. Trust me, it's not all that glamorous. Most people are not going to be an ordained officer in the church. But that does not mean that most people do not have a role of serving Christ in the church. Of course not. There is a work for everyone in the church to be about. We all have been given varying gifts of the Spirit to be used in the work of the church. The New Testament records this for us. The New Testament shows us man and woman serving the Lord Jesus Christ in varying capacities. And when we think of, with regard to women, we see that. Many women in the New Testament being used by God in a way to be a blessing to the church. Just a few to mention For example, Romans 16:1 has a woman named Phoebe there, and Paul notes her as a honored servant for Christ in the church of Cenchrea. Or as you read on in Romans 16, there are a number of women that are mentioned there as being used by the Lord and serving the Lord. Acts chapter 16 has Lydia, and she's mentioned as one of the founding members by way of conversion at the church in Philippi, and is helping Paul in that initial establishment of a church there at Philippi. Many other women could be cited as well as being involved in the work of Christ's church. Well, today then, we have the chance to look at one of those women. Particularly, we'll have a chance to look at this woman named Priscilla. Priscilla and her service to Christ is commended here and elsewhere in the New Testament. Often she's even mentioned, when mentioned with her husband time and again, she's often even mentioned first in that list. Arguably, maybe she's especially being highlighted in and honored by that reference in that regard. And so today we're going to be able to see that a woman like Priscilla has wonderful opportunities to serve the Lord as a lay person in the church. Now, men, don't worry. There's also an application here for you today as well, even by the very reference of Priscilla being married to Aquila, because largely what we will be mentioning about Priscilla also applies to Aquila as well, as we see them together as presumably lay members in the church, living out their lives for Christ and being a blessing to the church along the way. So with that introduction, let's dig into this passage. Let's begin by considering Priscilla's background. Look with me at verse 2. Verse 2 tells us about her background and her husband's background. Priscilla is married to a man named Aquila. Her husband was a Jew, it says. Presumably she was too. Presumably they already were Christians by the time they met Paul. They were previously living in Rome, but now they are in Corinth. When they first meet Paul, they're in Corinth. And we're told in verse 2 how they ended up in Corinth. They, along with all the Jews, had been essentially expelled from the city of Rome. If you look at Roman history, you see there are a number of times where Jews were expelled from Rome for various reasons. And the history books on this particular time frame are at least suggestive that the expulsion at that point may have been between conflicts between Jews and Christians. There's some reference there that sounds like that was what was going on. It's hard to be for sure on that. But it would not surprise us. We see in the book of Acts that when the gospel goes into new cities, some of the Jews are not happy about it. And there begins to be turmoil in the cities between Jews and the new Christian converts. It's possibly what was happening in Rome, possibly why the Jews, along with Priscilla and Aquila, would have been expelled from Rome, at least for a time. At any rate, they end up here in Corinth. They meet Paul, and it seems especially that their first connection with Paul was related to their occupation. They were all tent makers. Priscilla and Aquila and Paul were tent makers. And so with that brief background about Priscilla, let's turn now to see how she and her husband were able to serve with the Apostle Paul. If you read along in the book of Acts, you realize that Paul right now is on his second missionary journey. He had recently come from Athens. And having come from Athens now to Corinth, he obviously needed a place to stay. Probably was looking for some initial connections in the city. And so Priscilla and Aquila fill that need. Notice that it says Paul stays with them in Corinth, and so that means they supported his ministry by opening up their home to him, showing some kind of hospitality and having Paul over into their home. Notice in verse 11 it says that Paul ministered in Corinth for a year and a half. Obviously, that would have been a great blessing for him to have a place to stay while he's there in Corinth. But the text is also clear that a main reason why Paul stayed with them was because of their joint tent making. It says Paul stayed with them because they were of the same trade. And verse 3 says he didn't just stay with them, but he stayed with them and worked. Now, the implication seems to be that they worked together in some way. Maybe Priscilla and Aquila had an established tent-making business there that maybe they gave him some work. Or maybe they partnered together in some tent-making ventures. We don't know. But somehow or another, their tent-making enabled Paul to also tent-make and work and be productive with them. So the point is, at this juncture, we see Priscilla and Aquila. They bless Paul by opening up their homes and using their own earthly employments in some way as well to bless Paul so he too can exercise his trade of tent making. This would have been a great assistance to Paul as he's beginning to do ministry in Corinth. You might notice as well as we read this chapter, as was common for Paul, he encountered some opposition in Corinth. In other words, this would have been a more difficult place to do ministry. And so Priscilla and Aquila's service would have been especially welcomed in a hostile environment. You know, if you're a missionary and you're going to some hostile environment, it's nice to know that you have some people there to support you in various ways, even in physical, tangible ways. And so this is the first way we see Priscilla serving with Paul. A second way we see Priscilla serving with Paul is that she and her husband joined with Paul on some of his missionary travels. This is verse 18. After Paul's extended ministry in Corinth, he heads out to keep on going and doing more missionary work. It says that he ultimately ends up going toward Cenchrea and then to Ephesus, and Priscilla and Aquila come along with him. They essentially become missionaries. Now keep in mind, we have no reason to believe that Priscilla and Aquila are serving as missionaries in the way that Paul would serve as a missionary. In other words, Paul is going out as a missionary and preaching, gospel proclamation. We do not see Priscilla and Aquila as the preachers. We don't read of them being itinerant preachers, going town to town, preaching, anything like that. No, we don't see that. But they do travel along with Paul. Surely they would have been a support to Paul in various ways. When they come to these cities and a new church is beginning to be formed, they would have been a blessing to those new churches as well. You know, when you've got a brand new set of converts and it's just the pastor, the evangelist, who's the only one who's known the Lord for any significant period of time, that's going to be a lot of work for the pastor. But if he has a few other Christians that come along with him, then that's a blessing. They can all labor together and help beginning to disciple in varying ways those here in this new church. We have something kind of like probably what Priscilla and Aquila were in our denomination today. In fact, Jenny Hibbett served as one of these. We have this what's called as a missionary associate. A missionary associate is someone who goes out to one of our mission fields, serves there maybe for a year or two or three, isn't going out there as a preacher, but they're going out there and helping the missionaries in various ways and being a blessing to the missionary family that is there full time, helping out with the church plants that are there. So it's a similar sort of thing. It's an important ministry to be done. And so our second point for today then has been to observe how Priscilla, as well as Aquila, Priscilla as a lay person in the church was able to serve with the Apostle Paul to be a great help and support to him. She, along with her husband, would have blessed, supported, and complemented Paul's preaching ministry. Evidently, Priscilla and Aquila eventually make it back to Rome because the letter to the Romans, which would have been written after this time, at the end of that letter has a long list of greetings. And one of the greetings there is to greet Priscilla and Aquila. And listen to what Paul says there in Romans 16:3. He says, "Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my fellow workers in Christ Jesus." What a beautiful picture we get to see of some of that work together that they did right here in this chapter. Well, in our next point then for today, I'd like us to observe how Priscilla, again with her husband, served in Ephesus. This is recorded in the last several verses of this chapter. Paul continued on his missionary journeys, continued on his travels, but Priscilla and Aquila stayed behind in Ephesus. And we see in Ephesus, they are doing exactly what I was just suggesting they were probably doing in all these different missionary travels. They were getting involved in the life of the church and the life of the Christians right there among them, wherever they ended up, and wherever they could, they were serving. And so, what do we see here in Ephesus in verses 26 and 27? They're involved some way with the local synagogue. We've seen in Paul's ministries, he goes from town to town. He begins in the synagogue. That's where he begins his reaching out, begins to proclaim to the Jews and the God-fearers that Jesus is the Christ. And so we're not surprised then that Priscilla and Aquila are involved somehow with the synagogue there in Ephesus. And so, who comes to this synagogue in Ephesus? An itinerant preacher named Apollos. Apollos is from Africa. He's apparently traveling around preaching. He seems to be a very powerful speaker, a very bold speaker. He somehow is speaking about the Lord. He's proclaiming about the Lord. And yet Priscilla and Aquila notice something missing from his proclamation. We're not exactly sure what it all entailed, but it's something with regard to that Apollos only knew the baptism of John. Maybe that means he didn't know that we were also called in now to baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It's hard to say exactly what that means that he was missing from, but there was something right about Apollos' preaching, but something lacking in his preaching. So what did they do? What did Priscilla and Aquila do? They take him aside. Literally, the Greek here implies that they took him into their home. Not entirely sure that's what the reference is, but it's the idea of receiving. It usually would be used in the sense of receiving into your home. And they take him in, and they explain to him the way of God more accurately. In other words, more completely. What a lovely way, by the way, that they honor this preacher. They don't just call him out publicly in front of everyone and tell him he's missing something, but they take him aside and do this privately. And on the other side of it, what a wonderful way in humility that Apollos takes in what they have to say. And what I love about this is we see some immediate results. In other words, Priscilla and Aquila pour into Apollos. And immediately we see Apollos go on, be commended to some other brethren in a different place. And what does he do? He goes there, keeps on preaching, and bears much fruit. Surely part of that fruit is a result of how Priscilla and Aquila had ministered to him. Surely the way Priscilla and Aquila ministered to Apollos was just one example of the kinds of things they did serving in Ephesus. Surely this was just one example of how they were involved in the lives of God's people. That they were using their gifts in whatever capacities and opportunities that they had to be a blessing for Christ. When they worked hard, they were working as tent makers, they were using those as ways to be a blessing, we saw to Paul. And surely now as they settle down in Ephesus for a time, like we see with Apollos, they're out there making a difference, so to speak, being used by God. Again, what a wonderful way everyday believers serve the Lord. Well, as we especially honor and rejoice in Priscilla's work here, let's make sure we don't miss what her service was really all about. You know, we talked of how she served with Paul. We talked of how she served in Ephesus. But ultimately, we know what she was really doing. She was serving Christ. All of Priscilla's labors here, not to mention the labors of her husband and Paul and Apollos, all of this was about Christ. It was about the Great Commission. Verse 5, what was Paul's ministry? It was to testify that Jesus is the Christ. Verse 18, Paul says what Paul was doing for so long in Corinth. He was teaching the Word of God. Or in verse 28, what was Apollos' ministry? He was showing from the Scriptures that Jesus is the Christ. Priscilla's efforts were to support this. Were to support the gospel proclamation and the teaching of the Word of God. Priscilla and Aquila, we never see them being the ones standing up doing the preaching or the proclamation. But they're involved. And they serve an important role. We must not devalue this type of ministry because the Bible values it. The Bible says that everybody in the church has been given a measure of the Spirit, differing gifts to use for the work of Christ's church. It's why Paul could say that Priscilla and Aquila were fellow workers in Christ Jesus. Not just fellow workers, in other words, that they were just all, say, tent makers. No, fellow workers in Christ Jesus. Realize, this is an important and serious message. When Paul was preaching about Christ in Corinth, some people rejected that message. And look what he tells them in verse 6. Your blood be upon your own heads. In other words, that's how serious this message is. That's how serious it is to get out this message that Jesus is the Christ. Paul and Apollos were proclaiming Christ because apart from Christ, every person is subject to damnation. Apart from salvation in Christ, each of us has earned God's wrath and curse that, left unresolved, will mean eternal destruction. That eternal death where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth forever. That's why Paul says, your blood be upon your own heads. Apart from Christ, a person has an unthinkable future. But that is why Paul and Apollos proclaim Christ. That is why we preach Christ. We proclaim that the law leaves us condemned. But in Christ, we can be set free from that condemnation. We can be saved because Christ died on the cross to pay for our sin, to pay that penalty. The Bible calls us to repent of our sins and put our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, that we would be saved. That is what we preach. We preach Christ. This is the ministry that people like Priscilla were supporting. This very public preaching ministry relies on people like Priscilla supporting it. The life and the health of the church need people like Priscilla. Brothers and sisters, this is the take-home point for today. This important message must be proclaimed. Disciples need to be trained up in the ways of the Lord. But we need more than just the ordained pastors and elders to be about this ministry. And we have this wonderful snapshot here of that very thing. Christians using their gifts to bless the church. As we think about that, I'd like to conclude today with five basic applications we get from this passage. In other words, as we see Priscilla and Aquila serving in this way, five brief applications jump out to me here, and I want us to reflect on those by way of application. First, they served wherever they were. In other words, providentially, wherever they ended up, we see them serving. I'm sure Priscilla and Aquila weren't too excited about being kicked out of Rome, since it seems that they eventually made it back to Rome later on. That must mean they must have liked it, presumably, in some sense. Maybe they had family there. I don't know. But we see that wherever they are along the way, examples of them serving. They end up from, you know, going from Rome to Corinth to Ephesus, along the way to Ephesus, ultimately back to Rome. They appear to be serving. And don't miss the fact that that's often despite the threat of persecution. Certainly Corinth, we see here, was no easy place to be a Christian. But wherever they found themselves, they were using their gifts to serve the Lord. A second application, Priscilla served with her husband. Now this is an application particularly for the married couples. If you're not married, bear with me in the application here, but it seems they made a very good team. Time and again, we see them mentioned together. I love this situation with Apollos. They seem to, together, have been a blessing to Apollos. Husbands and wives, don't underestimate the value that you have together as a team to serve Jesus Christ. Together, husbands and wives can serve the Lord in a wonderful way. And if you're married, then look for those ways. Look for those ways that you can team up together in serving the Lord. Third application, they served with their homes. They opened up their home to Paul. Presumably they later opened up their home to Apollos. Our homes are a blessing from God as we have them, use them, see them as a tool for ministry. Use them as God provides. Fourth, they served God with their jobs. In other words, their earthly callings. This tent-making business allowed them some way to bless Paul and support Paul so he could do some tent-making. Don't underestimate that, because we see at different places, Paul makes that to be a big deal. Paul says often when he goes to new mission fronts that he didn't just rely on the normal support from the churches, but that he took great pride in being able to go and work hard as an example to those new churches of hard work, of not being idle, but showing how to be productive as human beings. Paul took great pride in that ability, and Priscilla and Aquila some way enable him to be able to do some of that tent-making work. And so certainly our earthly callings can be used for the glory of God. Obviously, the money we make is one way in a very simple application of how we can use that for the work of the church. But think creatively. I'm sure Priscilla and Aquila's service here was beyond just donating to the church with their jobs. Think of how your callings can be used to be a blessing to the church. A fifth application that comes from here is that Priscilla and Aquila served as missionaries for a season. They weren't. Does not appear that they were any ordained missionaries, any ordained officers, but they served as this kind of support role. I can only imagine how much of a blessing it is to the missionaries that are there full time when some of our own OPC individuals and families come out for a year or so to help them out, to support them. You know, when I talk to the different missionaries as they pass through, I hear about all kinds of ways that OPC people have gone out for a time and blessed the missionaries. Whether it be doing Sunday school classes for the missionaries' own kids, to helping alongside as wells are dug, to any number of opportunities for serving, it's a blessing to them. It's going to be a blessing as those new churches are being formed, to have some, hopefully, more mature Christians come and be involved in the lives of those churches. Of course, as we think about this, we realize that this is not something that's maybe easy in every time in our life. That there are going to be different seasons of your life where it's going to be more or less easy to pick up and go a year to some foreign mission field. Very likely, for Priscilla and Aquila, this was one of those times in their life where it may have been easier for them to pick up and leave Corinth and head out on the mission field. Remember, they had just been kicked out of Rome. Maybe their bags were still packed. They may not have been very settled in Corinth. And so in God's providence, they had ability, it seems, to be able to serve for a time along the missionary route with Paul. And so we have to ask ourselves the same thing. Are there times and seasons in our lives where this might be something that makes more sense for us. Pray about if God's not calling you to be a missionary associate of sorts for a season at the right time in your life. Well, brothers and sisters, I hope you've been encouraged as I have been as I've studied this passage. We live in so many ways in a similar setting and context as Priscilla and Aquila lived. There's work to be done in his church. There's work to be done in supporting the ministry of the gospel to the ends of the earth. Not everyone's going to be the ordained pastor or elder, and frankly, maybe many of us don't want that role. But see the way God has gifted you. Look for opportunities to use those gifts and be a blessing in his church. And I want to say I'm so very thankful for the ways I see that happening here. I mentioned it at the congregational meeting last Sunday, and I would mention it again. I can really, really relate to how Paul, in many of his letters, begins by saying how thankful he is for the saints in those churches and their faith and their service to the Lord. And I'm so thankful for the saints here that God has blessed us with, the members in this church, and the ways that the Lord is using you. See, according to this passage, see the value of the service that you're doing for the Lord. Maybe the service you're doing is one that's maybe not as outwardly glamorous. Maybe it's one of those jobs that most people don't even know about that goes on, but is important nonetheless. God knows how you're serving Him. We're serving the Lord ultimately. Be encouraged that we need all the parts in the body for the body to function properly. What a joy it is to be a part of this great commission. To see that God has made us all disciples. And as disciples, we not only are growing and learning, but we're also being used to pour back into other disciples to be a blessing to each other. Praise God for how He has so beautifully orchestrated then His body together in that way, that we are disciples, but also to bless one another, the other disciples as well. Praise be to God. Let's pray.